The church has a proclivity to follow after trends and fads and be led away by things that are super popular in the moment and only fall away from it.
Pastor Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But Scripture tells us that good, sound Christian ministry is to mature us in Christ so that we will not be children who are tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and human cunning. So in my presentation, we'll be talking about the tendency to go towards fads, but the solution is being found in Scripture and what it is that we're really to be focused on in order to build up our faith and to sustain the church into the future.
You can meet and hear Pastor Chris Roseborough making the case against the fad-driven church at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. For more information, go to issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
In the case of the president, do you get a sense that his regular attendance and adherence to the faith resonates with American Catholics?
There is a phrase, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
We are entering a post-Christian era. We are not going to be able to live off of the inheritance of a Christianity that is being rejected and is being slewed off right now.
There were specific strategies that the church used in many churches to grow the congregations that focused less on discipleship and biblical fidelity and even biblical literacy. And I think that that has produced a large amount of people in our churches that might not even really be Christians.
Easter is a time of triumph and joy. Easter is a time when we can rejoice together that Jesus has conquered death by his death.
I love listening to Issues Etc. while riding my bike on the street of Beijing, China.
Well, by now everyone knows that big solar eclipse is coming next week. Many will be traveling to see it, going out to see it, staying home from work to see it. It's a big deal. It obviously is something that usually only comes along, well, maybe not in once in a lifetime, but for some of us, especially those living in the Midwest, it's come along twice in 7 years. But have you seen the internet squabbles and the internet rumors that say that this solar eclipse, and maybe even the last one that came through the United States, is some sort of a divine sign? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be going through some of the claims of Troy Brewer, who claims that the solar eclipse is indeed a message from God. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
You got John Hagee every couple of years goes on and on about blood moons. That seems to have some significance. And you've got Troy Brewer with the 2024 eclipse. What's it with evangelicals and the moon?
I think that's a funny question. It kind of lends itself to the answer that these people might be lunatics, pun intended. What they're trying to do is they're always trying to read their Bible with an open newspaper and trying to draw connections between events that they're seeing in the news and seeing if there's a biblical connection to it. And as a result of it, they are constantly seeing things in the news that they think have biblical significance when in fact they don't. The four blood moons just turned out to be a complete bust. And in fact, I remember when that was all the rage. And after the fourth blood moon, I actually, in our merchandise store at Pirate Christian Media, we put a T-shirt up that says, "I survived the four blood moons," and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. It turned out to be a complete non-event. And I am no prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet. However, I would note that I predict that by next Friday, no one's going to be talking about the eclipse anymore. It'll be in the rearview mirror, and all the prophetic prognostications that are being put forward by Troy Brewer and others and that are making all the rounds on social media and TikTok right now, that'll all go by the wayside. And guys like me will be the ones pointing and saying, see, we told you.
They might say, look, Jesus says there'll be signs in the heavens above and on the earth below in advance of his return. And all that's, they're saying, that's all we're doing. We're just kind of looking for the signs.
The issue is that they're not paying attention to the details. So in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Jesus legitimately tells us what the signs in the heavens are going to be, especially immediately before his visible return in glory to judge the living and the dead. And in Matthew 24:29, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, so this is, you know, after everything's kind of coming down to its wind down and Christ is about to return. Christ says the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So the sign that Christ points us to is a day in the future when we wake up, or maybe it happens while we're at work or on our morning commute. We don't know the time when it'll hit us, is that the sun itself will just stop shining at its full brightness. It'll go from its current state to probably, you know, being a red color itself. The moon will not even be able to reflect the sunlight. And Christ says the stars themselves will fall from the heaven. And so when that happens, that's the sign that we're looking for. Jesus's return is imminent at this point. But that has nothing to do with the very predictable and repeated pattern of eclipses that have occurred throughout the entire time of humanity's stay on planet Earth. That's a normal part of the creation that God has put in place. I would note that Psalm 19 talks about how the heavens declare the glory of God. And I think eclipses are a wonderful way in which we can look at God's creation and see his glory in what he has created. I think that's about the only message that we can get from the eclipse. To make it into or try to infer that it has something to do with Christ's return, or that eclipses are a harbinger of doom, is to say words that God hasn't given us to say. Those words are not found in Scripture. As a result of it, you have to twist Scripture to make it look like that.
Who is Troy Brewer?
Troy Brewer is a fellow we've actually covered here on Fighting for the Faith. He's a pastor in the Midwest at a charismatic church, become quite the darling among charismatics, is mostly known for his prophetic numerology. Last segment we covered here on Issues, Etc., we talked about how he was dabbling with numerology and numbers like this. And so he's kind of the rising fad of the moment preacher within the Pentecostal and charismatic churches, and he's not sound at all. And we'll unpack some of his Bible twisting along the way.
What should we be listening for here?
So we're going to listen to a YouTube video that has over 1 million views at this point, and it's on the Daystar YouTube channel. And Troy Brewer is going to begin to build a case that the 2024 eclipse is, in fact, a prophetic event and that God is speaking through it. And so what he's going to do first is establish from the book of Genesis that God created the bodies in the heavens for the purpose of signs and seasons and things like this.
And I'm going to ask you a question. I would say this. If God was speaking, do you think that you would know it? And if you knew it, do you think that you would understand it? Now, most of all of us would say, hey, man, of course, absolutely I would. But it's not necessarily true. Because just because God is speaking doesn't mean that you know it. And just because you know it doesn't mean that you understand it. And just because you understand it doesn't mean, you know how to respond or what to do with it. And just because you know what to do with it doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way that you think it's going to. There's a journey of the prophetic, because it's all meant to be relational. I'm about to show you something, and we're going to go through this thing together. And I'm going to show you how the heavens declare the goodness of God, and that also it's prophetic, and that one of the layers of the heaven is for prophetic insight. It says, they placed in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And then he said, let them be for, and catch this, let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. The first reason God Almighty placed the stars in the positions that they are in for you to see is for signs. Like, no, he did it for light. No, he already had light on the first day, and he didn't create the material universe until the fourth day. Like, All right, my mind's already blown. Hang in there with me. Know this of a certain, that the heavens were made for signs. Now, whenever I look at a sign, I'm looking at something that proclaims a prophetic message. That's what a sign is. If I was holding up a sign, it would have a message on it, right? So this is actually a prophetic message. So a season for signs and seasons is a prophetic appointed time. It means a prophetic appointment. Okay, that's the difference between times and seasons. Times is always linear and seasons are always cyclical. All right, I love the Word of God. I get so excited about this stuff. So there is no end to the ways that God Almighty can speak. There is one word, there's only one word, but there's no end to the voices. And one of the voices is the heavens. And that's what Psalms 19 says. It says this, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day, it utters speech. Night into night, it shows knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That's the Word of God. So he put up all these prophetic signs in the heavens to actually be the voice of God. And friends, I want to tell you, God is speaking.
So how is this any different from astrology?
Technically, the way he's applying it, it isn't. There isn't a difference functionally between what he's saying and astrology, because you'll note that we don't have an interpretive key given in the scriptures to tell us how to divine what God is speaking prophetically through signs in the heavens. And so he's steered into this in the same territory as astrology. But here we need to make an important distinction. And that is that when I teach my confirmands, the small catechism, we talk about how the creation itself does. It is a form of revelation. However, there is a great limit to that revelation. And so we see in the book of Romans, chapter 1, that everybody knows that God exists and that the creation itself declares the power and the glory of God so that people are without excuse. So we do recognize that the creation itself is one of the revelations of God, but it is a highly limited revelation. It shows us that God exists, that he's powerful, but there's not much else that we can really interpret from the book of creation itself. Troy Brewer is going beyond the bounds of what we can rightly hear God's voice saying in the creation to then, you know, saying that there are hidden prophetic messages that God has embedded in the stars that he claims that he has the key to understand or the direct revelation from God to be able to declare to us what those signs or seasons are, you know, what the stars are prophetically speaking to us in this moment. And so this becomes then a form of prophetic astrology that is well beyond what God has truly communicated through the creation.
Okay, so he says that the heavens were created for signs. Genesis says that these heavenly bodies were created for the marking of time. They're God's clock. The sun, the moon, and the stars are essentially timepieces. That's their function in creation. But he's saying that we should be looking at them for all kinds of messages from God. Does Scripture anywhere say that God sends messages via the configuration of the heavenly bodies?
No, not in the way that he is communicating. I would note there's one exception that we have to at least talk about here so that we don't get egg on our face. And that is that, you know, you think of the Magi coming from the east to see the one who was born the King of the Jews. There was a special star that God used for the purpose of proclaiming the birth of Christ. And we are not told how they were able to figure out that the King of the Jews had been born via this particular star. We just know that they did. And so you'll note that that is a notable exception and one that we are not given the rubric for being able to do similar things today. And so we've got to be careful that we recognize that God does use the heavens and the stars to proclaim messages and notably the birth of Christ. But without a biblical text that says, here's how you read the stars, here's what it's prophetically saying when certain things are happening, we don't have any passages that say that, therefore we can't engage in this practice. But it is true that Genesis really is using the idea of the stars and the moon and the sun being used as timepieces. Those then indicate the switching of seasons of from spring to summer to fall and winter. And you'll note that even in the winter time, there are constellations that we can see during the winter that we cannot see during the summer, because those then would be out during the daytime when we're not able to see them. And so when those constellations appear, we can say, ah, winter is almost at hand because I haven't seen Orion for months. And that's what God is referring to then in the book of Genesis, which then becomes an instrumental part then of the Mosaic Covenant and their monthly lunar moon festivals, as well as when they observe the Passover and different important dates within the festival calendar of the Old Covenant. Though the stars and the sun and moon play into that for sure, and that's really the point that Genesis 1 is making.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. We're talking about Troy Brewer's prophecies about the 2024 solar eclipse. When we come back, is there any command, promise, or example of looking to the stars for messages from God? What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by purchasing a cell phone case from Crossway, crossweh.com/LPR. You'll find cell phone cases for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Luther's Seal with the Reformation Solas. crossweh.com/LPR. A percentage of your purchase will support Issues Etc., crossweh.com/LPR.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Teaching your student to read should not be complicated. Memoria Press's phonics uses common sense and the classical approach with their First Start Reading program for the most effective and efficient way to teach your child how to read. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Lord has redeemed his people.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Troy Brewer's prophecies about the 2024 solar eclipse. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. By far the most familiar Christian symbol is a cross, but it was not always so. Despite the ubiquitous cross showing up on Christian church pinnacles, hymnal covers, and fashion accessories from jewelry to apparel, the symbol was decidedly unpopular with the early church. How did this change? Well, it changed slowly. That's part of the introduction to one of the sections of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. It covers crosses and virtually every other symbol that you'll find in Christian history. Find out more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. So, Chris, just to put a fine point on what we were discussing before about kind of the lack of scriptural support for anything Troy Brewer is saying here about the sun and the moon, is there any, to use the Lutheran rubric, is there any promise, command, or example in Scripture for looking to the heavenly bodies for messages from God?
No, there really isn't. And so there is no command, there's no promise, there's really no example that we can follow. And so trying to reverse engineer one is to then go beyond what the scriptures tell us about what the creation is speaking.
What's next from Troy Brewer?
What comes next then is a very veiled allusion and a twisting of Luke 21 as it relates to this idea that we're ramping up and getting towards the end of time and the return of Christ.
I mean, don't you just know that God Almighty is speaking? I mean, can't you just tell that everything is ramping up to the book of Revelation? Can't you tell, friends, that Jesus Christ is coming back soon? Like, well, I don't think I'm supposed to be looking for that because no man knows the day or the hour. That is a very misused scripture. Number one, concerning the planet Earth, there's 24 time zones and there's 2 days at any given moment. So no man can know the day or the hour. But know this, you better not miss your day of visitation. You're responsible for being a watcher. And one of the ways that we watch is we look at what's going on around us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, even his eternal power and Godhead, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. He said there's no excuse for not hearing God speak. There's no excuse for not being able to see what God is all about, because he's declaring it all around us. And again, that is Romans 1, 20. So in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says, this is Jesus talking, friends. Jesus said, there will be. So we're talking about present, future tense. He's talking into our generation. He says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Friends, my Redeemer lives, and my Redeemer is Jesus. And if you know how to see it, the heavens are declaring all that right now.
Okay, so the trick here is, if you know how to see it, he, as you said before, he claims to know how to see it, because the punchline is coming on the solar eclipse. We haven't got to that yet, but what exactly did he do there?
All right, so he twisted two biblical texts. He referenced Romans 1:20 and went beyond what it says. Romans 1:20 affirms that God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that men are without excuse. This is true. But you'll note that this is not some prophetic revelation that's hidden in the creation. Instead, the creation itself, it screams at us that God exists and his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, are perceived from the creation itself. Nothing more, nothing less. And so he's gone beyond the text to make that, try to make it look like Romans 1:20 is inferring that there, God is prophetically speaking messages to us beyond what is said in Romans 1:20, and he isn't. But the next text that he twists is in Luke 21, and this twist is intentional, and it is intentionally deceptive. So when he presented this, he had a slide up on the screen and quoting this text from Luke 21, and he quoted one verse, and then there were three ellipses where he omitted the following verses and then picked up the remaining verses. And so here's how he quoted it. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth distress of nations and dot, dot, dot. Now, when these things take place, straighten up and raise your head, because your redemption draws near. So he omitted the part that comes next. And so listen to it in context and ask this question. Is Christ here referring to the 2024 eclipse that takes place in the United States on April 8th, 2024? Is that what he's referring to as the sign that he's talking about, that then we can lift up our heads and know that Christ is returning? Answer, no. Here's what it says. So in context, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth the distress of nations, in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I would note that Troy Brewer intentionally omitted the part that showed that this was referring to Christ's return and the sign of his return in the heavens, in order to make this text appear like it was talking about the 2024 election. Not election, but eclipse. That being the case, this guy is intentionally deceiving people and manipulating God's word to make it say something that it isn't, and to make it look like he's the guy who has the keys to understanding what the heavens are prophetically speaking at this hour.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, Troy Brewer's prophecies about the 2024 solar eclipse. We'll discuss the sign of Jonah next.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Where is God's mission? God's mission is everywhere. Yes, it's far away, but it's also very near. It's as near as your congregation in school, your neighborhood, your family and friends, even as near as your home. Wherever you are, God's mission is in that place. Through His mission, Christ is bringing forgiveness, life, and salvation to people everywhere, even here, right where you are. God's mission here. Learn more at lcms.org/national mission.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-Centered Worship, Confessional Theology, Lutheran Community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest of Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going through Troy Brewer's claims about prophecy in the 2024 solar eclipse. Chris, what's next from Brewer?
What comes up next is he's going to then build up on this, and he's going to make a connection between the 2024 eclipse and Jonah, and we'll have to untwist what he's twisting here.
You know, there was this incredible thing that happened over 700 years ago. There was this terrible event that happened in Israel. And when this terrible event happened, it was the Assyrians attacked them. And they went from city to city to city destroying, I believe it was 29 different cities. And I mean, when they destroyed them, it looked like October 7th event. It was horrible. And then they got all the way to Jerusalem, and God Almighty told the king, he said, don't worry about it. They're not going to be able to get you. I'm going to protect you. And they went to besiege Jerusalem. And then one angel came, and that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel. And like, wow. Well, then he went home, you know, with his tail between his legs, and he's like, oh my gosh, and he goes home. But then he wanted people to forget that the angel of the Lord had actually destroyed his army. So he built this incredible place in Nineveh, and he built up this amazing palace, and it had all these pictures and all these stories of how he had slaughtered the Jews. Fast forward a few years later, God Almighty tells Jonah, I want you to go to that palace. And it's in a place that is called Nineveh. And while you're there, I want you to go and I want you to preach repentance to him. Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then we all know the story. He first prepared a great fish, and then God Almighty prepared a worm. He goes from a fish to a worm. And poor old Jonah. But whenever he gets there, he has to walk among those pictures, and he has to walk among those places and all those terrible stories of the inhumanity that this king had done to his people just a few years earlier. Because whenever I typed up, when did that event actually happen? And the Jonah event actually happened in 763 AD. And I was like, I'm sorry, BC. And I was like, okay, is there anything else that happened in 763 BC? And then I came across this. This, I want to show you a picture here. It's a number three picture. This happened on June the 15th in the year 763. And it's known as the Assyrian eclipse. And then if you look right there, that is where it was at exactly on 763 BC. And so, like, what is that? That is the day that Jonah the prophet walked into Nineveh. And you know what happened? There was a solar eclipse. Those people actually said, we don't want to mess with this guy. Their God killed 185,000 of our soldiers. And the second this dude walked in, there was a solar eclipse. And we always know that a solar eclipse means a word to the nations. Okay, now I'm going to fast forward you again. I should say take you back some 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ himself was talking to a group of hypocrites who demanded additional signs. And he said, I'm not going to give you any more additional signs, except for one. I'll give you the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, our Western Christianity view of that is a new revelation that they didn't have, which is Jesus Christ was in the belly of hell for 3 days before he was resurrected, exactly like Jonah. But that wasn't their revelation. Their revelation of the sign of Jonah the prophet was a solar eclipse. So when Jesus said that the sun is going to get dark, you need to know that when my King Jesus was hanging on the cross at Golgotha, that the sky went dark. And they went, that's the sign of Jonah the prophet.
Okay, there's a lot there to take apart. He is drawing a line between an attempted siege of Jerusalem and a solar eclipse, and then it seemed to me something of a non sequitur, seemed to say that the sign of Jonah the prophet is a solar eclipse too.
Yeah. So here he's twisting the scripture horribly, and he's engaging in something called eisegesis. He's reading something into the biblical text that isn't there. So when you read the book of Jonah, there's only four chapters, and it's really clear that no solar eclipse is mentioned at all as being part of what took place when Jonah went to Nineveh. And on top of that, we don't know the actual date that he arrived. And so what Troy Brewer has done is he has invented this new thing, you know, trying to make a connection between the eclipse and Jonah. And there's a reason why he's trying to do that with this particular eclipse. And basically now he's rewriting the scriptures and adding stuff into it that isn't there. He's engaging in pure speculation. But the problem is this, is that the sign of Jonah was given by Christ. And note what he said, that in our Western way of thinking of in Christianity, we think the sign of Jonah is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But in reality, the people in Jesus' day thought that the sign of Jonah was an eclipse, but he didn't provide any, and I mean not a single historical document proving his hypothesis. There are no writings of the Pharisees and the Talmuds or the Mishnahs. There's no writings found in the Dead Sea Scrolls or any of the ancient documents that say that the sign of Jonah is an eclipse. Instead, we have what we find in the Gospel of Matthew, which says this: some of the scribes and Pharisees answered Jesus. This is chapter 12. "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation, and they will condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." So Christ himself is the one who tells us what the sign of Jonah is, and Troy Brewer here isn't contradicting our Western way of thinking as Christians, he's contradicting Jesus. Jesus says that the sign of Jonah is his death, burial, and resurrection on the third day. And even further, Christ doesn't mention any eclipse regarding the repentance of the men of Nineveh. He says that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. That being the case, what he's saying is not only outside of Scripture, he's trying to read it in, what he's saying contradicts Jesus himself, which is definitive proof that we need to reject everything that Troy Brewer is saying at this point, because he's contradicting Christ directly.
I would also note that he's trying to imply that the darkness that occurred at Jesus' crucifixion was somehow an eclipse, but Matthew himself tells us this darkness over the whole face of the land lasted 3 hours. This lunar eclipse coming up here this next week is going to be one of the longest totalities recorded, and it's going to be shy of 7 minutes.
Yeah, so actually the totality for the 2024 eclipse is going to be almost 5 minutes.
Okay.
It depends on where you live, but the reason why is because it has to do with how long it takes the moon to traverse across the sun, and depending on where you are and when you see it, it will depend on how long the totality lasts. And you'll note, you're absolutely correct, though, that the darkness while Christ was on the cross, when the sun no longer gave its light, was not an eclipse, and it was global. The sun being darkened is, if you would, kind of a harbinger of the return of Christ. Something similar will happen right before the return of Christ, the sun being darkened. The two events are very similar in nature, and it lasted for 3 hours. You know, eclipses last minutes for any particular geography on the earth, but Christ's crucifixion and the sun darkening, that lasted for 3 hours, and it was global. It was all over the earth.
We have one last cut from Troy Brewer. How did he bring it home?
So here's where he's going to tell us what the prophetic message is of the 2024 eclipse. And the prophetic message is based upon a very fanciful interpretation of where the path of totality crosses in the United States.
It was a 1 hour and 33 minute event. From the second the shadow touched the United States to the second and left, it was to the second, 1 hour and 33 minutes. What is that? It's Psalms 133. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a call of unity for the body of Christ, whereas I'm going to tell you the warning of the second one is a call of civil war. So you got unity in the first one, and then you have brother against brother in the second one. And friends, we're gonna address this. And this one, my friends, this one's a little bit different. Why is that? Because it goes over seven cities in the United States that have the same name. What is it? It is the name Nineveh. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you, friends. As a matter of fact, whenever I first began to discover this, I nearly fell down because it first goes over Nineveh, Texas, then it goes over Nineveh, Missouri, then it goes over Nineveh, Indiana, and then it goes over Nineveh, Ohio, and then it goes over Nineveh, Pennsylvania, and then it goes over Nineveh, Virginia, and then it goes over Nineveh, New York, before it goes over into Canada, and it does touch Canada. It goes into Nova Scotia, and guess what, friends? There is actually a city called Nineveh there that it passes directly over. Well, so there's seven in the United States, just like there were seven Salems the first time, there's seven Ninevehs the second time. What is that? It's a word to the United States, and it's a word to all of us as people of God. It's a word to everybody that is watching right now, and it's this: God is not playing. And he is saying exactly what Jesus said before he went to the cross. And he's also saying exactly what Jonah said. This is the sign of Jonah, the prophet. And there are seven Ninevehs in the United States after seven Salems. And it's this, turn or burn. I'm making you an offer to get with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm making you an offer to get with God's program. I'm making you an offer to make a covenant with the Lord. Jesus is extending this to you as a nation, as a people, and as a church. Friends, hear me say this to you. This is real. This, in fact, is so legit. Now, there's a bunch of other parts to this as well. One of those parts is this crazy thing that it actually happens on April the 8th. All right, you know what April 8th is. It's 4-8. Like, okay, 4-8, that's what it is. Why is that a big deal? Because Exodus 4 verse 8 is where God Almighty tells Moses, if they will not hear you and believe you for the first sign, they will for the second. That's extraordinary to me. Again, that was something else that I almost fell down over. Exodus 4 verse 8 says, if they do not believe you or heed my message of the first sign, they may believe the message of the second or the latter sign. And that is a 4-8 scripture, friends. And this actually happens on 4-8.
Okay, well, there's a lot to deal with there because he's just pulling numbers, you know, making number associations that are, it's numerology is what it is. But is he correct that this solar eclipse is going to pass over, the total solar eclipse is going to pass over these seven Ninevehs in the United States? By the way, he stole it from TikTok, but never trust a pastor who gets his message from TikTok.
Let's just assume that he's correct.
Which he isn't, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Only two Ninevehs in the United States are in the path of the totality.
Of totality.
And
right,
the others are outside the path.
But they're close.
They're close, but they're going to see a partial eclipse just like every other place in the United States.
Yeah. So even if he were correct, it doesn't mean anything. And at this point, he's just grasping at straws. But the fact checking of this, you're correct, that the path of totality only crosses two Ninevehs but comes close to five others. He's cheating at this point. And if God were really talking, he would not be engaging in numerology like this, because again, you'll note that the one who is holding the key to understanding what God is saying is Troy Brewer and nobody else. And so making this connection, not only is he factually wrong, this is just straight up numerology. That he might as well be reading chicken entrails at this point, because there's no functional difference between what he's doing and actual divination, which is forbidden by scripture.
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're discussing Troy Brewer's prophecies about the 2024 solar eclipse. Our guest is Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith. You can meet and hear Chris making the case against the fad-driven church at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. On-campus dorm options are available. Find out more at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in River Forest, Illinois. When we come back, we'll talk more about Brewer's numerology. You can meet and hear 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, Aaron Wren of the American Conservative, Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Has American Christianity Failed at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Thursday, April 4th. This week in Pop Christianity, we're talking about Troy Brewer's prophecies regarding the 2024 solar eclipse. Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. Chris, just a note on Brewer's numerology. Does it work this way? He said 133 minutes, and then somehow that got him to Psalm 133. Is that how God's revelation works?
No. When God's word was written, there were no chapters and verses. The whole chapter and verse apparatus was added way later than the completion of the scriptures, and was added as a means by which we can more quickly get to certain portions of scripture so that we can find those sentences and paragraphs that we find important and needful to focus on and to use in dialogue and teaching and discourse and things like this. And so there's nothing inspired in the apparatus to sit there and go, well, the eclipse is happening on April 8th. That's 4/8. So we can look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 8 and say, look at the connection. We can now divine what God is saying. Again, this is so fanciful, so deceptive. And as a method for hearing God's voice, this is no way to do it. So, and you'll note then that what he's also basically claiming is that God's word has a completely hidden level of meaning that only he is able to unlock. Because who knew that Exodus chapter 4, verse 8 was actually also hiding a separate meaning that had to do with the year 2024 and the solar eclipse? Nobody knew that except for Troy Brewer figured it out. He cracked the code. He put the puzzle pieces together and came up with a whole new meaning, so that when the text says that maybe they'll believe this second sign, talking about the signs that God was giving to Moses to show the children of Israel that God is the one who sent him, that verse referring to that also then was talking about the second solar eclipse that would happen in the United States. The first one in 2017, the second in 2024. Therefore, that proves that this is the sign of Jonah. Therefore, America, you're on the brink of civil war, and if you don't repent, then God's going to destroy this nation. That's not a message that God is sending. And the way he arrived at that message is completely fallacious, false, and deceptive.
The image just flashes into my mind of that now somewhat ancient internet meme of the guy chain smoking and pointing to a bulletin board with a bunch of red yarn connecting all the dots to it.
Yeah, it is a lot like that. And the funny thing about that particular meme is that the guy, you know, who's smoking the cigarette pointing to all the red yarn with all the strings and stuff like that, he looks completely unhinged. And Troy Brewer, in giving us this message, he doesn't look unhinged, but the whole message itself is unhinged. And I would note, when you consider the impact that this very irresponsible false message that he's been giving, you see the impact that it's had on the broader body of Christ, discourse on social media like TikTok and other places, and the clear atheists and secularists looking at Christians going, you guys are completely insane believing nonsense like this. It has brought reproach on the body of Christ and created a whole full-blown panic in people who attend Christian churches, them believing that this is some kind of message from God. I put a video out on this earlier this week, and we've been receiving emails from people around the country rebuking me for challenging Troy Brewer's interpretation, and everyone's telling me that God's going to get me and that I'll be proven wrong by the doom and gloom that will occur shortly after the eclipse, and then what will I do? I mean, the rebukes I've been getting in the email have been legitimately unhinged. And so he has brought disrepute to Christ through his nonsense. And he's also really worked people up into a frenzy, believing, you know, kind of like Chicken Little and the people running around claiming the sky is falling, worked them up into a frenzy by crying wolf regarding this eclipse. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to have to just have sobriety come back to them before they'll be willing to consider that they've been deceived by what this man has said.
I saw the last eclipse. My town happened to be kind of smack dab in the middle of the totality. It was an awe-inspiring, very memorable event. I remember once it went into totality, my daughter and I just stood there staring at each other as though you'd suddenly fallen into a dream. It is an awe-inspiring sight.
Yeah.
And it's quite rare that two would occur across the same patch of land, even as big as the United States, in the span of 7 years. What should Christians note when they see these heavenly bodies converge? And when they know that this is the handiwork of God, and that they know that Christ is returning.
Yeah. So I also saw the 2017 eclipse. I actually traveled to Missouri to see it. And I cried. Tears were streaming down my face after the totality hit. And it was just unbelievable to be able, in the middle of the day, see the sun's corona and to see the stars in the middle of the day. It was just absolutely a fantastic experience. And the one thing I took away from it is exactly what Psalm 19 says, that, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. And so when we see an eclipse happening, the fact that our moon just so happens to perfectly be the same size as the sun in our sky, and when these eclipses happen, it completely covers it. That shows God's precision in his creation, his power and his wonder and his might. And as a result of it, we can legitimately praise God, the God who created the world with such wisdom and such precision, and give glory to him and sit in awe and wonder of his glory and might in so doing. That's a valid aspect in which we consider God's deeds and in which we worship and praise him for who he is and what he has done for us in the creation. And so his handiworks declare his glory. And so we can legitimately use an eclipse to kind of see God's handiwork in its absolute glorious best in ways that are, the experience itself is hard to even explain if you've never experienced it. And as a result of it, see the goodness and the glory of God. But that's the message that the scriptures teach us to look for in events such as this, and even in the creation itself. Similar experiences can happen if you ever were to see the Northern Lights or the Aurora Borealis. When those things go off and you see those lights dancing in the sky, it's a similar experience. It all shows the handiwork and the glory of God. And that's what that would point us to. And these are not harbingers of doom or gloom. Instead, the scriptures are the ones that give us the message of God's impending judgment for humanity's sinful rebellion. But it's Christ who teaches us that we are to, as a church, go and proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. And so the call to repentance is in the scriptures, not in the stars. And the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins is not found in the stars. The assurance of the forgiveness of our sins is only found in the biblical text itself. So by taking the message of repentance and applying it to an eclipse, he's misappropriated that message. And that call to repentance stands every single day, whether there's an eclipse or no eclipse, whether there are clouds in the skies or the sun is shining brightly. That call goes out to all nations and all people everywhere, every day, to repent of their sins and be forgiven for the sake of Christ and what he's done for us on the cross.
Just a real quick note here with about a minute, Chris. Brewer's kind of played a cheap trick here because he knows that no matter, it's an election year, and no matter if he's right or wrong, there is going to be strife and conflict in the United States in following this eclipse, not because of the eclipse and not because it's prophecy. It just seems to me he's kind of stacked the deck here a little bit.
You know, you're not wrong. I am not looking forward to the fall of this year. It's going to be cantankerous beyond belief. And the reality is that that's the cycle that we have set up. And at the moment, the United States is not a country known for compromise or for the ability to talk with people and reason with them who have different beliefs than you do. This is a time in our history where, lamentably, we don't get along with each other. And there are people who are legitimately jockeying and kind of aping for civil war and armed conflict within our own country against the ideological forces that they disagree with. And so we would pray that God would not permit that chaos to come upon us, because that's a destructive, horrible thing. But in no way is it a foregone conclusion that that's where we're heading and that that's what our future holds. And to say otherwise is to go beyond what the scriptures say, because God has not sent us a prophetic message to that effect. So yes, Troy Brewer has legitimately gone beyond the text and played a dirty trick, knowing full well that we're in a season of cantankerousness.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part today by Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran will host an information session on Wednesday morning, April the 10th. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for pre-K through 12th grade. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. John Bombaro about Christian identity versus identity politics. We'll discuss chastity with Stephanie Neugebauer, and we'll respond to your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.